We're trying to sucker, as we always do on this show with Big Mac on these bets, we're now trying to sucker in his mother. So we'll see if Mama McKinnell is going to back up Big Mac on the Bears versus the Jets season win total. It's Overreaction Tuesday! Overreaction Tuesday. Caleb Herring checks in, analyst for UNLV. Before we get to the Rebels and Armani Rogers and looking back at UTEP and looking ahead to Prairie View, Caleb, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How you doing, Steve?
Would you take that bet? Bears season win total over the Jets season win total in the NFL?
Oh, my God. I would take the Bears.
The Bears will win more games than the Jets. Even after you saw the Jets last night?
How you like that?
I would take the Bears. The Lions looked terrible. I mean, the Bears had the Packers on the ropes at least. The Lions just looked awful against the Jets. I mean, so I think anybody would have done that to what the Lions looked
like. Had them on the ropes. a Jets team that may win 11 games just makes... They're not going to win 11 games. Just makes teams look bad, Caleb.
11? Come on.
believe me, there are going to be rough times in the future for Sam Darnold because once his tape gets around and people around the league see what the Jets are running, it's going to get harder. I mean, explain to the audience, it's funny how many people will make a conclusion after one game. Coaching goes on throughout the season. Adjustments happen.
Absolutely. I mean, especially with a quarterback and an offense like this, nobody knew exactly what the Jets were going to be like with Darnold at the helm. So it's not like there was film to study on him or some route concepts that you had to jump on, but especially in the NFL, when this is all they do, there's so much footage and so many different ways to break down someone's film. It just makes it harder to go against defenses when they kind of have a beat on you. So he has the advantage of that being his first game. That was definitely an advantage for him. And don't forget, he still threw a lot of risky passes. I mean, a pick on his first pass attempt. So it's like, I mean, once defense get a beat on him, and better defenses than the Lions, I assume, will get a beat on him, and it'll be tough sledding for him at some point this season. But I mean, he did good. He looked good, and the team looked good. But I don't want to overreact and give him the MVP trophy or anything like that.
Right, Caleb, we don't want to overreact, but I do want to ask you a question about that first play. You know, he goes out, he admitted that he had nerves, he tosses that pick six, and then from that point, I think he's like 16 to 20 for almost 200 yards and two touchdowns. When you see something like that happen from a kid so young, what's your takeaway?
My takeaway is that it takes an extreme amount of confidence to shake that quickly. I mean, you expect to get over it. Obviously, a quarterback has to have, a short-term memory. We always talk about that in the quarterback world. No matter what happened in the last play, good or bad, you have to be able to put it away and focus on executing the next one. So for a young guy in his first, regular season start and at such a young age, to be able to throw that away and, kind of move on and have a great game and lead his team to a good win, that's huge for his – it speaks volumes for his confidence as a player and the confidence he has himself. But at the same time, that can be a bit of a problem. And in my opinion, that was the issue that with him coming out of college, that because of his confidence, he was willing to take more risk. And it kind of reminds me of like a guy like Brett Favre, kind of the gunslinger kind of mentality. Like, yeah, I'll throw some picks, but I'll make more big plays than I will turn the ball over. And that could be dangerous at times and not what you need from your quarterback. But as far as he goes, it speaks volumes to his confidence, the way he was able to bounce back from that.
Caleb Herring, the analyst for UNLV football. yes, quarterback expert. Quarterback expert. All right, Armani Rogers.
I'll take it.
Let me give you this headline. This is from Tyler Bischoff up on LVSportsNetwork.com. Armani Rogers has yet to show improvement in his sophomore season. Your reaction?
I could not disagree more. I think that statement is one that was probably derived from looking at the box score and the numbers only. And if you look at the box number, the numbers from the box score, you wouldn't say that he's improved because he hasn't thrown for an incredible amount of yards or anything like that. Not a great completion percentage, so the numbers don't bear out what the improvement is. And I think Armani has made some improvements. Is he where we want him to be? Where we like him to be? No, he's not. I'm not saying that by any means, but what we saw last year to this year is a lot better product as far as a passer on the field. Not to mention that his production on the ground has definitely improved, if nothing else. He's averaging over 100 yards rushing so far and from the quarterback spot. As regards to what he's doing, he's thrown five touchdown passes in two games. So, he's made improvements in that area, and it we'd be remiss not to acknowledge them. And that's not to say that he doesn't have a long way to go. It's just saying, acknowledging that he's put work in. And that, this is for me, like, watching him on the field the past two seasons and seeing what the progressions he's making, the way he's being smarter with the ball, the way he's a little bit more accurate in the intermediate passing game. He showed that off a little bit last week, where he's making some throws that I don't think he makes last year. I don't think he has the confidence to make. And he's just managing the game better. He's more confident in checking off of the line of scrimmage and the pacing of the game, understanding when tempo is needed and when it's time to take a step back and really analyze the defense. So there is improvement, maybe not in the way that people would like to see as far as production as a passer, but he has improved in his approach to the game and the way that he's managing the game. And obviously, his production level on offense has been great. I mean, they're averaging 30-plus points once again, and he's a big part of that.
Let's talk about two of the biggest passes he completed during the game against UTEP, a 52-24 victory. One, the touchdown pass over the top, Mekhi Stevenson wide open, and you can see on that play, correct me if I'm wrong, the threat of Armani running draws in a safety, and all of a sudden Mekhi is one-on-one, and I think the other safety just misread it. But good delivery of the pass as well. Sometimes, you know, you can whiff on that pass.
Right, 100% of the time that is the case. One, UNLV's running game, even without the threat of a quarterback run, is already a potent running. I think they had five or six consecutive rushing attempts to that point before that play action pass. Two, the only player in a man coverage, which is what UTEP tried to play there, the only player in a man coverage that can account for the quarterback on a read option or something like that is usually going to be one of your safeties. So the fact that the read option is a threat has the safety's eyes where they shouldn't be, which are on the quarterback rather than on the routes that are coming at him full speed ahead. The first offensive coordinator, Cotton, called a great series of plays on that first drive because he really lulled the defense asleep. And without the run being successful those first five or six plays, that play doesn't happen, obviously. But because Armani's a threat to run, I'm 100% sure that defenses, including UTEP's on that play, had him accounted for with somebody on the defensive side of the ball. And in that case, it looked like it was the safety who was responsible. We see Dalton Baker on UNLV's defense become that guy and trying to stop other running quarterbacks. He's always in on those plays trying to make tackles, and teams do that. And the difference is Armani was able to, on the play action fake, deliver an accurate pass over the top of everybody, which isn't easy to do. If you have ever thrown a pass to a guy that's wide open and you just can't miss it, especially on the opening drive of your game, it's not just a gimme throw. You have to execute and you have to show some sort of skills and some accuracy in that situation. Otherwise, you end up with an embarrassing overthrow or an underthrow that doesn't end in a touchdown, but somebody getting tackled on the 2-yard line. But he put the ball where it needs to be, and definitely hit the threat of him as a runner opens up a lot as far as the passing game goes.
Go check out that story, folks. We were talking about LVSportsNetwork.com, and Tyler does back it up with what he says and also has a lot of video there, some overthrows, some other positive throws from Armani Rogers. We're talking to Caleb Herring, radio analyst for the Rebels. Let's concentrate on one more thing moving forward on the UTEP game. Turns out to be a blowout. They're up 45-10 in the game. Actually, you know what? I want to mention something we've almost never seen happened in that game. Tony Sanchez, with 8 minutes left in the third quarter, was actually able to remove his starting DBs. That's gigantic to get him a little bit of rest, because you know
that
Khalili and Flowers have been tackling machines, and you need to preserve those guys for a full season.
Absolutely, and not just in the tackling, but they've been playing a lot of man coverage where you're chasing a guy or, you know, a far route down the field or chasing them on a crossing cut, and the yards start to add up when you're running and you don't get a break. So it's huge that he was able to use that time in this game to get his guys a breather and really just take some miles off their legs, because it does add up over the course of the season where maybe you didn't feel it before as much as, you know, playing a full game, but week to week, taking hits, the little nicks and knacks of, you know, just the season taking bumps and bruises, they add up, and you get tired a little quicker. No matter how in shape you think you are, you start to wear down a little bit towards the end of the season. So it's any time that you have the luxury as a coach to be in that situation, you want to take advantage of it. And I think Coach Sanchez was very pleased that it happened, and there was so much time left on the clock. Like you said, 8 minutes left in the third quarter, that's a long time for your starters to pretty much rest. And I don't think any of them got back on the field after that point. So that's huge to be in a position to do that. And it's where you want to be as a program, that you're able to trust your second on the depth chart to finish the game out and not have a colossal meltdown or anything like that. You're able to trust them. That's number one. And number two, you know it's going to help you as far as getting your starters some rest. So, yeah, it's a foreign territory for UNLV to be resting starters at the end of any game, but we'll take it.
Let's talk about run defense, because that is still a work in progress. Tony Sanchez said that after the game. They got to get better. UTEP with some solid run weapons with the quarterback and the running back Wadley, but 252 yards on the ground and 7.5 yards a carry. Got to get better on that.
That is huge. And a lot of it was in their defense, a couple of chunk plays that really ripped off, and that kind of helped the average. But either way, you can't have any of that. And what I'm seeing, what I'm noticing with UNLV is, against the more conventional styles of running, like two tight end sets, power runs with guards pulling and things like that, obvious run situations, kind of direct to the right to the running back, he's the one with the ball type of thing, they're doing a really good job. So it's the misdirection quarterback read that is really giving a problem. We talk about that mid-zone read that gashed them right down the middle for about 50 yards, it seemed like, in the first quarter, on the first drive, really. Those kind of plays are the ones that are hurting them. So it's one of the things where you worry about the eye discipline, maybe, of the linebackers and the guys that are flowing as opposed to making these tackles, because counter plays and misdirections and quarterback reads are designed to create confusion. So it seems like once the defenders are locked in and they know where they're supposed to be, they're able to execute and really stuff the run. Like we saw at times against USC, who runs a more conventional style of offense in comparison to the rest of college football these days, where straight ahead with the running back, UNLV's good in those situations, but they've got to figure out how to stop the zone reads, the quarterback run especially, because there's going to be a lot of that coming at them as they get the conference play with different creative ways to running. And I think, in my opinion, it starts with the eye discipline at the second level with the linebackers and in the secondary to make sure that they're getting going in the right direction. And that way they're able to actually effectively stop the run. It seems like they were out of position a lot on those big runs that UTEP was having.
Caleb Herring's on the horn. He'll be joined by Russ Langer and Coach Tony Sanchez for the Tony Sanchez Radio Show. Location update, Henderson location of Born and Raised tomorrow, 6 o'clock. I know you guys will get into Prairie View more tomorrow, but real quick hit for the audience. What is UNLV going to be seeing here in this 7 o'clock start against the Panthers?
Well, I think the Panthers are a team that's hungry, as was UTEP, because they haven't been the hottest team ever. I mean, they have a win this season, so that is one thing. But their offense is probably one of the more explosive that they'll see to this point. UTEP, obviously, was a program struggling. USC didn't put up very many points. It just isn't their style of play. And they had a lot of questions as well. But Prairie View is a really balanced team. Looking at their stat sheet and what they've done so far this season, they put up a lot of points, number one. The fewest points they scored this season, I think it's 24. They also had a week zero game. So they've played three games to this point. And they're a little bit more, I guess you could say, fine-tuned or a little more in rhythm as far as an offense goes. But if you look at their attack, they're pretty balanced as far as their run-to-pass ratio and the production from both sides of the offense. 220-plus yards for passing average per game to this point, and also the same goes for rushing. So a very balanced attack as far as the offense goes. Now, they are loose with the ball. They've given up four fumbles already this season. So that's one thing that I think Coach Sanchez will be looking to take advantage of and create some turnovers to limit their offensive opportunities, because when they get in the rhythm, they can't put up points. So it's going to be a tough task for a defense to kind of line up against and match up against such a balanced attack. So it's going to be interesting to see that. Defensively, they have given up quite a bit too. They've given up on average 30 plus points this season. Obviously, if you're scoring more than 24 points and still losing games, your defense is giving up points for sure. So UNLV offensively should be able to control the game and put up points as we've grown accustomed to over the past couple of years. But for the most part, it's gonna be a great game. I don't think any opponent should be overlooked by UNLV. I don't think anybody should overreact to what happened last week and say, you know, Prairie View should be a cakewalk, because every week presents a different opportunity and matchups are a factor. So we'll see how the Rebels match up on Saturday.
All right, Caleb. Good job. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Appreciate it, guys. You have a good one.
There you go. @ Caleb Herring on Twitter. Coach's show tomorrow night, Wednesday, Born and Raised, 6 o'clock, every week, 6 o'clock, 6 o'clock.